I'm Thrash Bastard, and I never listen to None Taken.
Do you remember Winamp?
Yeah.
Did you use Winamp? Or did you use like whatever the native? You used Winamp. Because that wasn't,
I used Winamp.
That was never native, because it says Win, but it's not Windows. It was shareware or freeware, yeah. Right?
It had that cool animation thing where you could play the music and it would do the animation screensaver.
Yeah, where you'd go for psychedelics fans.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about do you remember the llama on the login, on the startup?
The llama, so that's the logo that would show up as you
opened
it? Okay, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. I do remember that. You heard about this Drake the Snake story?
Who films a video of that?
Right?
Like, I get it if you're like, you know, like a nobody or something, and you're like, well, right. If she doesn't know what my dick looks like, you know, I got to get her and I got to let her know what my dick looks like. Otherwise, you know, that's why you do a recording like that. Like, I don't understand when you're fucking Drake, how you don't just say like, why does it like, I promise me or promise you, I got a big dick. Like, who cares? You're going to fuck Drake. Like, why do you have to show? Right. Like, I said that in the group chat, and Thrash or Toaster was like, what, you never done helicopter dick? I'm like, I do helicopter dick all the time. I just don't record it. Like, helicopter, bitch. That's impressive, though. It was very shiny in the video. Did you watch?
I'm pulling it up right now, actually.
Ooh, hey,
I was told about
language,
it.
Alan. Oh, is that on his jet? That's cool.
Yeah, that was on his jet.
Oh, man. That's pretty cool. That's better than helicopter dick. Are you looking at it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Oh, God.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun.
Do you want to share the screen, Alan?
It already ended.
Please don't.
Okay.
Oh, my God, you're considering it. All right, can we go back to talking about Winamp, I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you used Winamp. Did you use like Media Player too, though, or no?
I did, but I didn't really like it. I preferred Winamp. And then there was a, once it got to higher resolution stuff, there was an application. It looked like the Russian CCP, not Russian CCP, the Russian like hockey company logo that would play like all kinds of crazy formats and play super high quality, like HD. So
where would you get those versions of those files? Like, and you'd have to, how did you download that version of those files? You'd look for them?
Yeah. I mean, you could find them. There were pirate bay sites and things like that where you could download stuff.
Yeah.
There were also, there was RSS feeds that if you had access to, you could download all kinds of high definition video.
And you'd get those in your Usenet groups?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or from friends.
You're from the internet.
I'm from the internet. I used to stream it through my PlayStation onto my TV.
I'm on the internet. Say it to my face.
There we go. All right. Can we talk about Winamp?
Yes, let's talk about Winamp. Sorry.
That might be.
We're digressing.
Can we talk about Winamp?
I'm curious where we're going here.
Guess who bought them? Do you remember who bought them?
No, I don't.
AOL.
Oh, jeez.
Guess how much they paid for Winamp.
Oh, God. $30 million.
Yeah, that seems like a lot, but...
Was it really?
That $30 million seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot, yeah.
$100 million.
What the
fuck? In 1999 money. Like, AOL is just like, we're big swinging dicks giving out CD-ROMs and tricking grannies into signing up for $11 a month internet, you know?
Man, AOL was a beast back then.
Well, so that was their whole plan. They thought that if they acquired Winamp, that they were going... They also bought a company called Spinner and Nullsoft, and they were all kind of competitors in that space. They didn't tell any of the other people they were buying them. And then they kind of put them all into one office floor in the Mission District in San Francisco. And the Winamp people hated the other guys so much, they put a tarp up to like have their own privacy. And they had like the Spinner or the Nullsoft guys in charge of like the music division. AOL said they wanted to be the next MTV. I couldn't get it out without laughing. They wanted to be the next MTV, which itself had like another, 3 years of music, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Let's see.
Wow.
But the AOL music department like immediately ran into the ground because they didn't know anything about running a digital music platform because it hadn't been invented yet. And for like 3 years they ran this shit, and it's like, dude, you had the opportunity to shift towards down. Like, they had it. Like, because this was right before the AOL Time Warner movie. And with Time Warner came all of the Warner Music
properties.
Yeah. So they could have, I mean, that was their plan. And they were like, no, buy the CD. Like, but you can put it onto your computer and play it on this. Like, dude, you just, wow, can't, no vision there, you know?
Right, right.
And then
iTunes come out.
Right, yeah. Well, and iTunes, I mean, and Winamp was such a small program too, right?
Yeah, it was tiny.
And I mean, look at, you know, open up iTunes, it takes like 6 minutes to load and all these merging databases that you didn't update before, but it has to make sure it does that for no reason. Yeah, but they were afraid of losing their core audience, which was, you know, old ladies that found a free CD and then were convinced to spend $11 a month.
I've already talked about the Sears thing before on here, I think, right?
Yeah, we both talked. It was a news topic. We talked about it. It was a, how about that?
Okay. Coldwell Banker. And
yeah, yeah. It was a sound I played here based off a podcast episode I sent you saying you want to listen to this and then I'm going to clip it for the show. This is the fifth time you've done this, Alan. I hate you. You're worse than Natasha. It's like, I've never, I will never get mad at Natasha for like asking about something that we talked about on the show when you do stuff like that. Like, it was a two person conversation ostensibly.
All right. And like, yeah. Solidarity, Tosh. I'm with
you. What is that meme I shared this morning that said our retard ratio was 0%? It can't be. It's got to at least be 50. And I was giving it to me, but I'm thinking it's you. Oh, God. Do you remember Nutella?
Yeah.
Not the delicious treat, but GNU-tella.
Oh, I was thinking the delicious treat, but that does sound familiar. I can't remember.
It was like, I think they ended up owning like a Napster or something, like Nutella. Like, it was like a platform for stream. So somebody wrote the script for distributed servers because initially Napster was on a server, like they had their own servers. So the guy that wrote the Nutella script or created that software, mm-hmm, it was also the same guy that created Winamp while he was working at AOL, so they fired him.
Wow. Yeah, that's what made all that stuff work, because then you could host a file and you could pull it from multiple different computers and that would speed up.
And then they even made ones that were like end-to-end encrypted, so it was like you didn't know, mm-hmm, who stole what when.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do have a sound to open the show. Should I ask you? We're putting a lot into this open.
I know.
It's a silly one. Way send in. Are you fine with a silly one and we'll just go do the show?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I got a question, but I could always end with a question, right? Oh, you know what? No time for silly at the end of this week's show. So I'll ask you now. Did John Connor really send a guy back in time to fuck his mom? Is that the whole point of the Terminator?
You know, I think it might be.
I think it was. Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was, maybe. Right.
Michael Bean. Family Feud clip. Get ready, America.
Name something or someone
this is bad
you should stop sleeping with as an adult. Alana.
Your boss.
Wow. John.
Children.
Don't let me eat his damn.
Whoa. Should we hit record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
All right, you ready?
I am ready.
I have my mic down. Is that loud? Can you
hear
that?
Are you recording? I can hear it.
Yes. You want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
I got all the ways I just ain't got the means.
Damn it, I had the microphone muted. Welcome to the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of Nut Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines from all the corners of the internet, brings them to me on a list, and we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day, and Alan watches 3 hours, about, give or take, of cable news, so you don't have to! And now, get ready to take a sledgehammer to the Culture War Echo Chambers. But first...
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Head on over to your favorite social media sites and give us a follow. If you're listening to us on a podcast instead of watching it on the Patreon's YouTube, head on over to a place to review that. Leave us a positive review, please. Five stars. I'm a five-star man. And if you're on the YouTube, give us a like. We have like five likes there because all our stuff's unlisted. And you know how you always get that spam stuff whenever you have any kind of like professional account? I get constant emails saying like, you have five likes and over... and your account's over 3 years old. I'm like, no, you don't understand. That's all hidden. The only people that see that are people that pay to watch this, and they tell us they like it by giving us money. Anyways, I don't know. It gets me in my insecures. But, you can buy a shirt like this over at FungibleNunTakens.com or Alan, speaking of the said Patreon, where can they go to do that?
TrumpGags.com for your Patreon needs. We got the videos over there unedited, and we got some other stuff. Also, support the people that support us. SlickitsDigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs. SlickitsDigital.com.
Hell yeah. Hey, it's my turn. Well, I say it. What is up?
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the show. What is up? Hope you're all having a good week. Hey, it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Hey.
So we got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? So that player for the Chiefs got attacked by a coyote?
No, I didn't see that.
Then it's already been said to be like not true. Why do I have Steve Harvey on the TV still? Okay, there we go. Yeah, it's probably not true. But, you know, it's a fun story.
That sounds like a fun story.
It's more exciting than Brock Purdy.
The 49ers.
Brock Purdy looks like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Did the 49ers like buy a coyote and train it to?
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's the certain shades of red to go after, right? Not scarlet, but
right. Okay. Right. You know, every time you do the sledgehammer thing now, I think of Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, sledgehammer. Yeah. You don't like Peter Gabriel, he's because he had a song called "Big Time." Alan hates that word, "Big Time."
I like some Peter Gabriel, maybe not that one.
Do you like Genesis? Headlines. I like Genesis. I'm a Genesis fan.
I love Genesis.
Him and the other
Phil Collins.
They were both in Genesis at the same time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You know, yeah, sure. It was a super band.
Who cares if I'm wrong? Well, you want to start our headlines, buddy?
Sure, let's do it. So I got a couple big headlines off the top here. Biden cleared in documents case. Report raises concern about his memory. So there was a specific
Has he been picking
line.
His nose too much? You remember that headline? Have you seen this joke I've been doing in our Instagram stories where every day I share a headline about nose picking is associated with
Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's, yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
There's only a handful of people that are getting the joke, but I'm going to do it for a few weeks until everyone knows. Well, I forgot to send it to Brido today. I sent it to him 2 days in a row.
I have the article in the other news. Will you put it there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we'll talk about it there. Shit. Sorry. Well, you put in other news at the top of the show, so it doesn't matter. None of this matters.
There's a line in this report from the special counsel that says his likely defense would be that he's old and has memory loss issues.
Of that, they won't press charges?
No, they're saying they wouldn't press charges because he cooperated fully. I mean, let's not beat around.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. Let's not beat around the bush here. Having classified documents the way he's had them stored is not cool. It's pretty egregious, actually.
Well, the whole issue with Trump was there wouldn't have been charges if he would have complied when they asked him to. So just like that, Biden gave them the first time he was asked to. It's not good either way. I mean, I'm not defending either of them. But
he was proactive. Even the special prosecutor in the report details the differences between how Biden reacted to this to how Trump reacted to it and said there was no reason to press charges. So Biden had a press conference just a few minutes ago, actually, addressing this report. And I didn't hear this part, but apparently he said, "I know what the hell I'm doing," in response to a question about his mental acuity. So. Because that's on my screen right now. So
okay. I already made a post about it, and it made me feel uncomfortable to do it because we, as we say in our show, you know, two political nomads. I'm not loyal to any party, and I don't really like defending heads of the major parties because I mean, that's the whole problem is the major party system. And,
sure.
You know, you get bad choices because of that. But I mean, the headline here is he's cleared in all charges. The, the special counsel appointed by Trump, who did the same thing, but worse, was unable to make a case to press charges. So he didn't.
Right.
That special counsel who was appointed by Trump, who is not a doctor, editorialized in his summary that something about his memory and not being, you know, so like that's to me, that just sounds like I couldn't get you. So I'm going to smear you.
Interesting.
I mean, that's what he was tasked with. Like, this wasn't created for no reason. Like,
right. I haven't heard that take, actually. Huh. That's potentially possible.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it from that angle. So perhaps. Yeah. Because even I think in in his defense and the administration officials that have sort of defended him since that report came out, I haven't heard anybody say that. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a very, to me, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll take credit. I don't know why I'm not taking credit for you. Yeah. Do I do the next one? Why don't you just do the next one? I don't know what this says. I mean, I could say it and you can talk about it. Takeaways from the Trump ballot case.
All right.
NewYorkTimes.com 24/0208 U.S. politics Supreme Court - Trump ballot takeaways HTML.
So this morning we had oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court about the Colorado taking Trump off the ballot. And so it went for about 3 hours. I listened to most of it. They broadcast the audio live, no video for whatever reason. Man, I got to tell you, listening to it, I was like, oh, this is definitely going Trump's way. Just the way they were asking questions. They were being very kind of kid glovish with the Trump attorney. And
I had seen John Roberts say that if they did this, if they went against Trump, it would allow certain states, it would allow big states, it would allow the election to essentially come down to just a handful of states' decisions. And I'm like, you mean the Electoral College? Like,
we're already there, man. Yeah. We're already there. Yeah, there was a lot of concern expressed for a state having this ability to take somebody off the ballot as opposed, because it's a federal election, the impact that could have on other states.
Dude, I can't get past this. If you say that there's nothing wrong with what he did, and you have that written down in the Constitution, you're essentially saying the Constitution doesn't mean anything. Like, the words in there can just be ignored. So if we do this, we are going to set the precedence of ignoring the Constitution, which in many ways I'm fine with, but they're not going to be consistent in good ways. You know what I mean?
Like, right, right. I mean, there was a lot of so they really didn't debate or ask any questions about whether or not it was actually an insurrection. That really didn't even come up. There was questions about whether Article 3, if it applies to the president or not, which to me is kind of a stupid argument, because if you're going to have that clause, why wouldn't it impact like the president? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
No, of course not. Yeah. Yeah. We'll allow every Confederate back into the government.
Right.
Yeah. But not the president, or the other way around. We won't allow any Confederates back into the government except for the president. That's fine.
Right. And then there was some questions about whether or not it was self-executing or if Congress had to pass some legislation to make it work.
But you know what is? If on the day of, on January 6th, 2025, if should Trump win, if a, just like in 2020, if, because all it takes is a senator sponsoring a House member challenging the procedure.
Electoral process. Yeah.
Yes. That's what it causes it to at least go into. Okay, well, we have to resolve that, right? There is no reason not to think that Democrats wouldn't do that if he gets elected. They'll say, like, look, this man is ineligible. It, you know, it's just the same as if he isn't 35 or if he's born in Kenya. I'm going to beat that to death because I think that's the best analogy. And I see no reason why they wouldn't do that, why Democrats wouldn't do that on January 6, 2025. That in itself is an act of Congress making. So if it's not self-executing, that's the way it will be done. And everybody on the right's going to be like, oh, it's a coup from the Democrats. Like, no, like, how do you not understand eligibility? Like, you can vote for whoever you want. You can vote for none of the above. They did that in Nevada. Brewster's Millions.
I lost you for a second there. So, yeah, so there was, as I said, they were concerned really with like this minutia stuff. But the impression I got is that this is going to be an 8-1 or a 9-0 ruling.
Oh, that much. Even Democrats going on it, huh?
Yeah.
Really? So is there one Ketanji? Because I heard her questions. I heard some isolations of her, and they were pretty...
Yes.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, the other thing, I think Kagan asked some questions about...
Kagan's this... when you squeeze your pussy hole real tight, right?
That's Kegels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. she asked some questions about this seemingly... impacting Trump, like I think she said it feels like it was gerrymandered for Trump. So she was kind of like sort of indicating that if this applies to only Trump, this is kind of a one-off case. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So I could see her maybe voting against, but everybody else seemed, they seemed very pro the Trump side of this argument. So
it's a lousy argument. Like what they wrote and presented is a pretty lousy argument. It's real lawyers. But I think it's a lousy argument, as we've talked about for weeks here. So, that's kind of a bummer. Whatever. Either way, half of what shocked the Democrats so much in 2016 was that it was shocking. You know, they'll be prepared to push back against his bullshit. You know, we'll see if our institutions can do anything. Lots of great countries go through horrible moments like that and become stronger on the other end. So we'll just see. Germany is a good example of that, I suppose.
All right. An appeals court ruled that former President Trump is not immune from prosecution in his federal 2020 election case. Trump is going to appeal to the Supreme Court. A lot of people are saying that they think that court will rule for Trump in the ballot case and against him in the immunity case.
Oh, we said that. We actually said that. Yeah. I said that a few months ago. It was like, so they'll give him that one and take the other one.
Yeah, so that seems, I think that's pretty likely. I think there's no way
his only role is to delay that until he's president and then squash the investigation. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. The Senate failed to advance a compromise $118 billion border security and foreign aid bill in the procedural vote. Republicans rejected the bill after criticism from former President Trump. The chamber will try to pass the aid without the border measures. So this is the most hilarious thing in the world to me. And if you've been listening, you've heard this. So I'm going to try to do a timeline of Republican logic. And if it sounds stupid, I'm not going to purposefully try to make it sound worse. I'm just going to describe it. So it's like, okay, you want aid to Israel and Ukraine. You're going to have to address the border. And then they address the border. And then the whole way through, they're like, you better not talk to the Democrats, fellow Republicans, because we don't want them to make that deal, even though we told them we want that. And then then they come together with the money and they go, actually, this is addressing immigration. This is addressing the border. We want you to stop immigration. We meant to say that. Also, after they've had a few days to spend that properly, they go, we actually don't think that you need to make any new laws. We think the president already has the authority to do these things, which Trump did. The Supreme Court didn't stop him. When Obama did it, the Supreme Court said the exact same things. The Supreme Court said, you can't do that. So just for context. And now, because of that, the aid that they said that they needed for the border, the money they needed for the border to supply the aid gets rejected. And now here we are exactly where we were before all of that bullshit with, well, some members of Congress are trying to get aid to Ukraine and Taiwan and Israel. How about we vote something? Oh, well, you should just make a law only on that.
Right.
And that's what people in right-wing circles, every one of my posts that talks about this, people are like, why aren't there single-issue bills? Why aren't there single-issue bills? Why do they keep doing things together? Look at all this Democratic pork. It's like this, they said, if you want this, you have to do this. And they said, we don't want the second thing that we told you had to do. And now they're saying, why don't you just give us this one thing by itself? It's like, it's maddening. And it's designed for people that aren't paying attention to be triggered and upset at the Democrats for putting bullshit into the border bill. Like, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just
I hate defending Democrats this much. The Republicans are just so bad. Like, they truly don't play fair. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, this next headline is pretty funny,
too. Well, you do it.
The Republican-led House voted 214-216 against the impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas over his U.S.-Mexico border policy. So the Republicans thought they had this, and as the vote was going, it looked like they would have it.
Wait, describe why they needed so many votes. So the vote total was 214-216. Right. Oh, wait, no, this one is... the Israeli aid was the one that needed a supermajority. I apologize.
Right.
Okay, so they lost by two.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they were really surprised when Al Green,
the singer?
No, the congressman showed up. He was having surgery.
Are you that was the reference I heard people talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So they thought he wasn't going to be there, and they're like, "Oh, we got this. You know, it'll pass." And he shows up in a wheelchair in his fucking hospital gown, like as the vote is happening, and votes, and they lose by two. And he was one of the because there were Republican House members that didn't want to vote for this, but they probably would have if they thought would have taken over the knife's edge.
If they what
they didn't
they
know
would have, if you turn into a robot, you need to fix your internet.
Oh, if is it mine?
Yes, it's yours.
Okay, they thought that he wasn't going to show up, so they didn't want to vote for it. They probably would have if they knew he was going to show up just to get it over the line. So they were kind of voting their conscience or whatever here.
Really?
That's why they ended up. Yeah, that's how they ended up.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Pretty wild.
It might be my internet. I'm looking at it now.
Okay. Because you got, I lost you for a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Where are we at? My journey. Wait, we got plenty to say about that. So that's dead now, basically, right? Like it's not a winner to bring it back. I saw videos.
Wouldn't pass in the Senate anyways.
Yeah. I saw it. Right. So I saw a thing where they were saying like, you know, doing this would be really bad for, because like it was a lousy case and they're saying that it was like a real, it sort of lowered the standards of impeaching these people. So it would open the doors to Democrats impeaching judges. And like we always say, like, be careful with power because that'll be in the other people's hands. And
eventually, yeah. So. Yeah. It was a show trial event essentially, or was going to be. So there wasn't really anything there, but they could have, I mean, they have the majority in the House.
All of the things that they want him to do different, I bet he could do if he had the funding in the bill that they rejected.
Probably.
Okay.
Sorry. They probably.
The Senate did. Where am I? This one? None of
number
these?
Four.
I already said that. Yeah. So Nikki Haley lost her the Republican primary in Nevada to a candidate called None of These Candidates.
Right.
If you've seen the movie Brewster's Millions, that was basically the like the big push in the third act. Brewster's Millions, underrated Richard Pryor movie.
Mm.
He's going to get like $40 million from a dead family member if he can spend like $5 million in 30 days, but he can't give it away. He has to buy it and he can't let anybody in on it. So he has to like do it. So it's a fun premise, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all these people trying to help him manage his money and, you know, anyways. He runs a campaign for none of the above because he can't win.
Okay. Oh, right.
Okay.
Man, I haven't seen that in forever.
It was on Comedy Central all the time in the 90s, so I've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
That and what is it? See no evil, hear no evil, or the Silver Streak? Silver Streak was good.
See no evil, hear no evil was good. I remember that.
Yeah, both of them were good. Those Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder movies were really fun.
Wilder, that's what I was trying to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a good duo.
They
for
were.
Sure.
They were. Remember when Gene Wilder's walking through the subway bathroom with the boombox and blackface? God,
I do.
That was good. Like you're gonna have to have a long talk with me to convince me that was bad and racist. That was a good scene. It was funny. It was good acting.
You're gonna die on that hill, huh?
I will die on that hill. Fuck yeah! Right. Yeah. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing inappropriate with that scene.
Of course not. It's a different time.
Anyways, Trump didn't partake in that because the MAGA party is doing a caucus because they
tomorrow or Friday as this comes out.
Are you done?
Yeah.
The MAGA party is doing a caucus because they love the caucus.
Caucuses are really weird.
So, and it's just, there's no reason for it. So the Republican party is only going to recognize the delegates going to whoever wins the caucus. So it's always
correct.
Was going to go to Trump. And Nevada's a swing state. So it's interesting. She should definitely drop out, but I like her staying in the race as long as she can.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Just to be a thorn.
Yeah.
All right. President Biden issued an executive order enabling the U.S. to sanction Israeli settlers involved in violence against Palestinians in the West Bank, including an initial round against four specific people. So this is targeting some of their finances and their ability to interface with our economy. Some people are saying this is a gesture Biden's trying to make to the left that really doesn't like what's happening between Israel and Palestine. I mean, if this is a gesture, that it's not much of a gesture, but I mean, it's not nothing, but it's also not much.
Yeah, I don't think it'll count to anything, right? Isn't there like 500,000 settlers there?
Something like that, I think.
So, yeah. Like, if they, was Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia is saying, look, in order to have a ceasefire and a peace agreement, what we want to back is for there to be a two-state solution on the 1967 borders, which means Israel has to get the fuck out of the West Bank, which honestly, if that actually stops everything, seems pretty good. Also, that deal's been presented before. Israel was on board with it, and who rejected it or caused violence to turn it over?
It was the Israelis, right? It was Arafat, wasn't it?
You know what? Fine. Okay. Maybe that who was their thinking? Turn. I mean, they just took turns anytime.
Oh, right.
I mean,
they went back and
forth. Look, it's not like I don't mean to come on here and piss off our most left-wing friends, but it's not like the Palestinians haven't been handed a scenario that they could have lived with and it would have made everything good. And they didn't just like do the fucking Always Sunny in Philadelphia gif where they throw the cereal down the hallway.
Right.
This could have been resolved multiple times in their past. That's what's so frustrating about it. It's like the U.S. and Iran. It's like, we don't have to fucking be here. I understand the motives because it's complex. I understand the motives of the partisans that didn't want those agreements, but peace is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been nice. I think they got really close under Clinton, those accords, the Camp David Accords. Yeah. But I think Arafat was the one that threw the,
that's what you're thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Whenever I think about the settlers there, I just think that they're killing a lot of people in Gaza, and a lot of people are being displaced. And then I'm like, well, I think if there's going to be something to make the other side happy, it would be a lot of people being displaced after settling in the West Bank. I don't know. I haven't really polished that thought up. I know it was a little lumpy, but I think you have a good intention.
Yeah, I understand. Current numbers are like 1% of the Gazan population has now been killed in this war. And I think it's like 85% have been displaced.
Living off a liter and a half of water a day to wash, eat, drink. You don't eat water, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. We have another headline coming up here. That's just making it worse. Okay. Which we'll get to.
But is it your turn?
No, I think I,
You did that. Yeah. You did that one. I was reading the text while you did it. I hope nobody knew that. Where point at Baghdad six.
Yeah.
A U.S. drone strike in Baghdad, Iraq. That Baghdad. Thanks. Headline, killed a senior leader. I guess, you know, we're not currently at war in Iraq. We got to remind the audio. Yeah. Okay. U.S. drone strike in Baghdad killed senior leader of the Iran backed Khatib Hezbollah militia, who was linked to recent attacks on U.S. forces, including a drone strike that killed three troops in Jordan. Iraq was not notified in advance, although we did try to say our State Department or the Pentagon, someone tried to say that we did notify them at first, and it came out we didn't, and they backtracked. They used the Hellfire Gensu missile, where the last second it deploys a bunch of fucking swords, basically, and just shreds up everything as it explodes and causes all that. I think there was three other people in the car. Everybody died, clearly.
Yeah, and there was another, I think, high-ranking leader in that same Hezbollah militia. So obviously this is in retaliation to the troops killed in Jordan, as the headline says. They've been firing stuff at our troops for a while now. Just we hadn't had casualties until the Jordan incident.
So. Right. Yeah, well, they said when the U.S. started this campaign that it will be weeks long, I think is what they said.
Mm-hmm.
So, there, you know, you just keep the Atlas News notifications on and your phone goes off. You're like, oh, it's starting. And then you're going to get three more follow-ups to that describing it.
Yeah. Obviously, the Iraqi government not happy about this situation.
Yeah. They're a bunch of Iranians. So, you know, they can pound sand.
I mean, mostly this has been going on in Syria, not Iraq. But
it's northern Iraq. It's nothing but Kurds up there. You give a fuck about Erbil?
Right.
I keep hearing people call it herbal. I'm like, I don't think it's herbal. It's not Herbal Essence. Remember those shampoo commercials for Herbal Essences where the girl would have an orgasm in the shower? I still get horny when I see a bottle of Herbal Essences at the store.
Triggers you?
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. And I was in swim at the time, so the girls would all use the Herbal Essences for their showers, and I'd see it in their swim bag and be like, oh, that's a creepy sound. Probably don't want
to. They smelled so good.
Probably don't want to make that sound as a 41-year-old talking about me as a teen.
They had like the strawberry ones and the
It was the botanicals, Alan.
Right.
Your turn.
Okay. Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu rejected Hamas's recent ceasefire counterproposal, saying that total victory is possible within months. He notably did not close the door to more negotiations. So this was.
Everything's going to get stale. You got to close the door.
So this was negotiated by Egypt, the U.S., and Saudi Arabia, I want to say.
Egypt's not doing good with those Yemenis blocking transport through the Suez Canal. It's like
they're not having a good time.
But Israel's doing great with the border crossing there that they're racking up tolls on. So great job, Yemen. You're really scoring points for everybody you intended to help.
Right? Unbelievable. So, this looked like a pretty good proposal. They would have to, as you said, go back to the 67 boundaries, acknowledge a two-state solution.
Oh, dog, I totally talked over this headline. I'm sorry.
That's all right. But the Israeli prime minister was unwilling to go with
this. This is a round of negotiation. He has to talk like that. He's got the right running. I mean, he's in the far right party. He's got the far right party holding up his coalition. And he's a wartime president now. He can't say anything's good, and they're passing notes to guys in tunnels, and this debate or this negotiation's going back and forth. Plus the Middle East, Alan, these guys all debate hard, they're negotiate hard, you know. That's why, remember when John Kerry was talking about negotiating with Iran, he's like, these guys are tough, sometimes you just got to get up and walk out of the room. They respect that. It's like,
I do remember that. Yeah, he actually did it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
That's from his old Swift boat captain's time. You know?
Right.
Real leadership, Alan. People paid attention to the 2004 election are like, yes, Swift boat for truth. that's always tucked away. That was such a big deal, man. I mean, that's probably what got him not elected. George W. I mean, W won in a landslide in that election, but it shouldn't have been. It should have been closer because, like, after the honeymoon of 9/11 wore off, there was just it was still W, and then you're mad at him being ran by his vice president. Like, you know, it was everything that people complained about Biden with, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
But younger, so no excuse. Like, no, you're dumb. Like,
it wasn't doddering.
Yeah. This one.
Yes,
we talked about this.
We did talk about this.
Okay, the UN initiated an investigation of its Palestinian refugee agency, UNRWA, after allegations that some staff members had ties to October 7th or Hamas. Last week, I was saying it came out conveniently the day of Israel being getting its judgment from the international court. So I kind of brought it up in that context. I will say at this point, though, that I'm trying to remember what I was about to say. God damn it, Dustin. I don't know. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I included it because we have some more information than we had last week.
Yeah. Oh, so I know. Can I please?
Yeah.
Israel gave a summary of its dossier to like the New York Times or the Washington Post, and they did all that reporting on it. They gave that to heads of UN nations as well. And that's what caused everybody to pull out all their funding. And it's like a 12-page summary with a bunch of allegations with nothing really backing it up. They aren't sharing their dossier, and I think that maybe they have good reason. They don't want to share a bunch of intel, but they can redact as much as they need to and still share that. It reeks of 40 decapitated babies to me, honestly. And I don't mean that as in the actual smell. That's gross.
Sure. No, I understand. So the details that we have from the dossier, they claim up to 10% of these UNRWA people are affiliated with Hamas.
But that just means the government.
Right.
The place where they live.
And they get staff members from Gaza to work in this agency. So the UN, while we don't have a lot of evidence to back up these allegations, the UN has fired people and it has admitted that they have found some connections to Hamas of their
Lemonade Hamas.
So we know
Hamas.
We know that there is some truth, at least, to these allegations. It's a really bad look for the UN, and they are one of the main organizations that coordinate aid in the Gaza Strip, as well as where people like have lost their homes. They stay in their buildings.
It's careless of them. How do you lose your home? Like, it's right where you left it.
It got bombed.
It's not a set of keys.
They also They also run a lot of the schools in the Gaza Strip that are still functional. So this would be a huge blow to any aid in Gaza. It's just the worst time ever for that to happen. So we'll see how this goes, but it's not a good look, man. It's pretty terrible, pretty shitty.
You know, all NGOs and aid agencies always struggle with either people going native or having the, like, I mean, there's got to be, if not, like, okay, I understand there's a group of people that are very concerned with just human rights and taking care of people, having empathy, right, and not being able to act on that. There's a group of people that are from that area and so have all of the anger and biases towards their opponent that you'd expect with that. It wouldn't be hard to imagine that overlapping quite a bit in any aid agency or especially if they're staffed with people from that region, right? Okay.
Right.
So that's already a problem. And this brings attention to that, to the only significant one. It's ran by the UN, which is ostensibly supposed to be above all, supersede all that. Supersede? Something.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a neutral organization.
Yeah. Right. So this, you know, this isn't the first time UNRWA's been under attack. It was under attack under Trump. It's been under attack people before this. Because of the same thing, you can say, look at these people are staffed by this agency staffed by, you know, they're associated with Hamas, which Hamas is the government there. It's not a good thing, but like if you are going to be affiliated with just leadership within a small space with a relatively small population, I mean, it's not surprising that an aid agency has, say, 10% of its staff affiliated with the political organization of the place that they live in.
Especially if you're involved in any administrative role in Gaza, you effectively have to be.
That's what I've been trying to say. Why do you use words so well? I think people like hearing me talk, you know, that's what I tell myself. But yeah, that's all it took to say that. I'm going to talk until you stop glitching. There you are.
There we are. We're back.
I had 3 out of 4 bars while it did that though. So I think it's
okay. I don't know how to look at it, man.
It's fine.
Okay. This last one, I don't think we talked about this because I think this came out after.
No, please do, because this smashed.
The U.S. economy added 353,000 jobs in January, almost double what was expected. The market remains robust despite higher interest rates. The unemployment rate held at 3.7.
Which I think now makes it a year straight, which honestly, I don't think that's happened very often. I don't think the president's just – okay.
They were expecting 3.8%, so just a tick lower. And wages are still up 4.5%.
So wages are outpassing inflation. If it's wages are up 4.5% and inflation's like 3.
Right.
Wages are always slow under a healthy economy because you don't want wages to chase inflation too much because then prices go up in response and you have the wage inflation spiral. So it sucks for us. Like, it's not a good thing, but this is a reality. It's just like describing the laws of physics. Like, if inflation happens, wages will catch up, unfortunately, slower and probably not perfectly. But right now, wages are rising faster than inflation.
That's right.
That's a headline. And 350,000 of 180,000 expected. That's huge. And when you go back to November and December's numbers, they revised those upwards. They got more data and proved that.
It's funny. I saw some reaction videos to when these numbers came out, like to CNBC anchors and people like that. And everybody was just shocked with this number. They're like, didn't know what to do with themselves.
Fox. I've seen them from Fox too.
Bear guy. So now it's likely that the Fed will leave rates as they are in their next meeting. Bond market traders are betting that it's 80% chance that they will do that.
And then they're hoping for a drop in like May or something, right? Or is that the next meeting? Next meeting is in like a month. And so like,
March.
So I think in May, some people are expecting rates to drop, which would be kind of convenient for an election year. But you know, also dropping rates is a good thing. Only problem is that what would that do in the housing market? We would have people selling finally, right? So it would not be a buyer's market, which would be good. We wouldn't have runaway house prices as much.
Because potentially, I mean, if you have a mortgage locked in at a low rate, you're not going to want to sell that house and buy another one at a...
Right. So once rates start dropping, those people who've been wanting to sell would be more inclined to sell once it gets to a number they got.
Right. So we'd get more motion, I guess.
But it would be bad for buyers is all I was saying.
Yes and no. I mean, because they would have access to lower mortgage rates.
I just mean if you describe it as a seller's market, that's not ideal for buyers.
Yeah, I think, but you do get more liquidity in that market because people are moving around.
You know, when I used to sell business cards to people at Staples during the boom before the 07 bust, I remember that. I remember being like, people were saying it was like a seller's market, it was a buyer's market. I was like, I can't keep this straight. It sounds like it's kind of good for both of you, honestly. Like,
yeah,
it seems like me and my apartment is the loser here. And then like, I remember being at dinner with John Hill and Eric, and they were all convincing me on a cigarette break that I need to just buy a house. I was like, I can barely afford rent. They're like, but you're throwing it away with rent. Get an adjustable rate mortgage.
And
like 3 years later, that shit all went.
It was a bad idea. Bad idea.
Good job, Dustin. Good job, Dustin.
I knew somebody that had, they owned their home. They bought an additional like income property during that time with adjustable rates and absolutely screwed them. It was crazy. Crazy. Hard to anticipate those things. It was a bad idea all along.
For true.
All right.
For true.
In other news,
people say for true.
In other news, we have Dustin's favorite headline of the week: nose picking likely partially to blame for Alzheimer's disease. So what the article says is essentially that people who are chronic nose pickers, which I didn't know that was a thing. There's even a word for it. It's called rhinos.
This is just nose picker slander. I won't fucking stand for this. Like, if you have something there, you can imagine how fucking wasteful it is to go get a fucking piece of paper and rub it up against your nose. Because, like, then you're going to have, like, dry nose. So that's all. This is all popularized by big skincare and, you know, and hand sanitizer lobby.
Yeah, they want you to wash your hands.
Hand sanitizers should be pushing more nose picking. But
right,
like,
right.
You're going to tell me that we evolved as a species to have to, oh, my nose is stuffy. I better have soft paper around. Like, maybe I'll find the best leaf I can and blow. No, you just stick your finger up there and pull it out. And or if not, you close one side and farmer snot it. You know, like, it's
God,
it's fine.
Gross. So what they're saying is that as you pick your nose, you're inserting bacteria or other potential pathogens into that nasal cavity.
Yeah, you got
cavity.
Mucous membranes. It's the same thing. Like, you know, yeah, you got the same stuff in your eyes too. What if you walk into it? So, like, fuck off. What do you rub your eye? Nobody's saying eye rubbers. I'm an eye rubber too. I look at girls with makeup. I'm like, oh, you don't get to rub your eyes. That sucks. Like, I love rubbing my eyes.
I rub my eyes all the time.
All day. I watch you do it here while I talk, Alan.
That's essentially they're saying that those pathogens then get into your brain. They cause plaques to form, and they think that's what potentially causes Alzheimer's or other
toothpaste in there. If Donald Trump can say if we can introduce bleach inside the body, I can say you can get some toothpaste on the brain and get rid of all that plaque.
Ooh, toothpaste on the brain.
I'll write that down.
All right, this next one.
Wait, can I do one?
Yeah.
So I saw this in People magazine. It was just a meme. I didn't open up the article, but there was a thing that said nose picking is likely partially to blame for Alzheimer's disease. I guess what they're saying is that, like, if you don't wash your hands before you pick your nose, you'll get bacteria or something onto, like, the mucous membranes, and it gets into your brain and it builds up plaque and causes, it's what leads to Alzheimer's. But it's weird because, like, they've had all these drugs on the market.
Wait, that's what I just said.
When?
Like, right now.
Really?
Do you have Alzheimer's?
Well, I have picked my nose quite a bit, but I'm too young for Alzheimer's.
I said the plaque thing. Huh.
They have been questioning the believed cause of Alzheimer's lately.
They have.
So this kind of it is interesting to see all this come at the same time. I guess it'd be related. You'd see these breakthroughs as they start to say, like, this isn't doing this. Maybe this is, you know.
Yeah.
Hypothesis is.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some progress on the drug side of this.
They've all been terrible numbers. It's like 34% of people are better. It's like, what's the risk? Oh, above placebo, some people had bleeding of the brain. It's like, well, placebo gets you like 30%. So 34% really doesn't sound like a good drug.
Yeah, it's barely moving the needle. And there has been some studies that potentially show that we've been barking up the wrong tree when it comes to Alzheimer's as well.
Yeah. So now they're ostracizing. Like, it's just, you know, can I get a fucking break between drinking and driving and nose picking? I just all this social pressure to change. And I'm not, now to be fair, hold on. I don't want to be on record saying I love drinking and driving in the way that sounded. I mean, staying below the legal limit, but having a few pops, it's a nice feeling, you know? Like, do you remember when you were a kid and you'd go to the cabin and you'd ride the motorcycle after you had a Coors Light and it just feels amazing with the wind in your hair? Like, yeah, that's all I'm referring. It's that feeling. It's a great feeling.
Remember Don Geronimo used to talk about him and Frida going to, like, the liquor store, grabbing a six-pack of beer and driving around? and that was like their entertainment.
I don't remember him talking about that. R.I.P. Frida. Yeah. God. But the I don't remember that, and I would if I ever heard him say that. I missed that episode. Okay. That was my dad. Like when my dad,
oh, really?
Yeah, my dad lived in Colorado. My mom moved out to California. That's why I was raised in San Diego. My dad only came out to San Diego once, and we just drove up and down was it Mission Boulevard, whatever goes north south a lot from Pacific Beach to Mission Bay, and he just drove up and down there at a six pack and a cooler back there, and I kept handing him Budweisers, Bud Diesels, and yeah, it was a great memory, man.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. I remember when I lived in Cambria.
You get home before you've had too much to drink. It's fine. You're not drinking then driving.
My dad would buy like a can or two of Sapporo, you know, the tall cans, the real heavy ones. Yeah. Take me down to the beach and I would just go.
You know what they call that? They call that a Drake's cock.
It took me a second to get there.
I'm gonna write down Drake's cock, but I don't think that's gonna be a show title.
Yeah, he would just sit there on the beach. Have a Sapporo. I'd play in the water. It was good times.
Hell yeah, man. Yep. These are real bonding moments as men, right?
Absolutely.
You got another headline.
Russian anti-war presidential cabinet barred from election by state commission. So this guy was apparently moving up in the polls rather, to almost 10%. And Putin can't have that. His last election, he won at 77%, and he wants to win this one at 80.
Those are like Biden and South Carolina numbers.
Right. So the Elections Commission said that the signatures that he collected to get him on the ballot were invalid.
You know what? You got to admire.
There's never going to be another free election in Russia.
It's really hard to ignore the fact that there is simultaneously both countries are like, this guy doesn't deserve to be there because of these technicalities. I don't think it's the same, but damn it, man. Like, you know that meme where Hank Hill's telling Bobby if those kids could read, they'd be, you know, that's how I feel about the right now. If they had any good sense, they'd be like, look at America doing the same thing that Russia is doing. Okay. All right. Thank God.
All right. You have some notes here about.
So Tucker, over the weekend, it was big news. People noticed Tucker in the Moscow airport and they're like, the rumors are true. He's going to be interviewing Putin. And then there was, I think I have it in next week's show. I probably won't play it, but I have a clip where just because it'll be old news by then, but it depends. Mm-hmm. We'll see how the memes go, right? If this is a hot meme, we'll still do it.
Well, the full video didn't drop until today.
Right. So. I know it dropped before we aired.
I
didn't have any interest in watching it only because, I posted something, earlier where it was, CNN responding in between takes of Tucker, where he's like, you know, journalists, nobody's been willing to ask this guy questions. Why? What's wrong with, you know, the West doesn't know anything about what his intentions are because you've only heard the West's version of this. And I'm like, no, the guy's made plenty of statements. He hasn't done an interview with anybody from Western journalist outlets. They've asked, like they've tried to, and he's denied it. It's kind of says something about you that you're the person they approved it, but which goes back to another, you know, see above. Yeah. It was stupid for people to call him like a traitor and things like that. But he is, I mean, look, like, Putin's a propagandist. Like he's a former spy. It's not like you hang that hat up. I don't have to rehash that old debate, but like he knows how to use propaganda well. He knows how to flood the zone and lose the signal because of the noise.
Right.
And he picked one of the biggest bullhorns in America. Literally handpicked because everyone's asked him to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, all the best interviewers on 60 Minutes all got denied, you know. But, like, I would even imagine that includes, like, someone from The Intercept, you know. So it's probably half sympathetic.
Yeah, probably.
Didn't say yes to that because they weren't, you know, they weren't ready to just kind of parrot all his bullshit or let him. Because that was the concern. Remember when Trump was doing interviews with Putin or meetings with Putin and he kicked the note takers out because notes kept leaking? And we're like, well, that's it. Like, you know, the problem is, sorry, Donald, I don't think highly enough of you to not be persuaded by a scam artist when you're locked in the room with him without aides around to, you know, provide, you know, run interference, stuff like that.
Context.
That is the role of a translator. Sure. But that brings up a whole other conversation about translators and flaws with translators. But especially by Trump, he only picks the best people.
The interview was 2 hours long.
I've got a clip from it that is worth sharing. Oh, tell me, you watched some of it?
I watched about half of it. I mean, it starts with Putin just going down this. I mean, we've heard him sort of do this before when he did those press conferences or whatever, the fireside chats with Russia.
Yeah, like his side of the story has been broadcasted. Like, we know it. Just because you forgot it in the last few years doesn't mean a Western journalist didn't ask him the question and have that broadcast. Like, if anybody was curious to know these things, the answers were available and translated from statements the man made. It doesn't matter. I really maybe it did happen, but I'm having trouble picturing whoever like the main journalist was in 1941 going into Germany and interviewing Hitler, you know, or Tojo.
Right.
Like, it just the common sense is like, they've made their statements. We know what they've said. Sorry, it wasn't like, I mean, because this is quite literally having it come through a trusted voice, right? A conversation from a trusted voice. But I don't know. I have one clip that does show him sort of having some balls, but I'll wait. But please, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
So he talks about how Russia essentially was founded in 860, and he goes through this whole thing, essentially his argument that Ukraine has always been a part of Russia. After the fall of the Soviet Union, when they disbanded all of those countries, they sort of made them their own country, but they never really were. How, you know, early on, they tried to align themselves with Poland, and then they didn't like that, so they tried to move towards Moscow.
Right. That move towards Moscow, like the 1000s, what is that? The 11th century?
Yeah, I think 1160 or something.
No, 1062. Yeah. They were up against it with Poland. Mm-hmm. And is it the Cossacks? Or is it another one with a C? Whatever the leaders were of Ukraine at the time, or, you know, what would be Ukraine? Kiev and Rus, agreed to terms with Russia so that they could get out from under it with Poland. And Russia was kind of working with Poland in that scenario. And in that treaty, they pled either loyalty or like they promised their sword towards Moscow. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing's changed since then, so we should definitely look back to the 1000s.
I mean, so Tucker does press him on one thing where he says, look, if you always thought this, if you always believed that Ukraine was truly part of Russia, why did you wait 22 years before attacking them?
Oh, yeah, I've been totally fine with coming on here and saying I eat my words from before. Like, that's way more spine than I expected from him.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, he's just an entertainment news source, right?
Sure, and also, at least the part I heard, Putin never really answered that question.
No, of course not. And then he gets to say all the other stuff and be like, well, he asked him that. It's like, well, what's the value of this? Like, he's saying things that are already understood. I thought that this was worth, I had a whole notes from a back and forth me and Kitbag had where Kitbag was saying, like, I just want to hear this is, see, I forget, whenever you're talking to Cody and Matt, they have an analyst point of view. So they're like, yeah, I want to know who the guy who's leading this war against Ukraine that we've been supporting. I want to hear what he would say when he knows he's talking to the American people. That to them has a value. And he was telling, I was like, I feel like we're talking past each other because, like, I don't really disagree with some of the things you're saying, but, like, it's not. And he clarified it. He's like, well, we're not talking past each other. You're thinking of this from a journalist standpoint. And he sees it as, you know, the guy that's beating us in Ukraine is going to speak directly to us. And he's going to get on there and just flip us the bird. And that's why it's so sleazy of Tucker to go do it. It honestly, it is. Like, I think that, you know, I think the right or the left overblew it with the way they reacted to it, but like there's no good way to cut it. Like, there is an information that the context that's been missing. Right. And then people that are casual viewers of what's going on, but are entertained by our entertainment has been modified since Trump, like, popularized politics, where people that are like, look, all I have time for is going to work, feeding my family, and watching TV and going to bed. I live in a world now that is heavily politicized by political
actors.
Yeah. Well, I just,
of nefarious natures,
spectators, political spectators too. Like, it's a sport, right? So, so you live in the world with that. So you have to know something about these things. You can't in that process start to form an opinion. So a bunch of uninformed opinions. I know not everybody. A lot of those people.
A lot of those 5 minute clip on, you know, CNN.
A lot of those people on the right are Tucker viewers, is what I'm saying. Just like a lot of those people on the left are, you know, Bernie supporters or whatever. I'm not going to, I'm picking stuff out of hat. I didn't have something prepared to compare that to, but you know what I mean? Bernie says all the right things. So if you are doing everything I just described, going to work, feeding your family, watch TV, go to bed, you're like, well, that guy wants me to get paid more and have my healthcare be free. Yes, I like that. Why wouldn't you? Right. So like though, a lot of the bases of those two wings of populism are ill-informed. So they're going to see now Putin talking directly to them from their favorite news source. And it's just, it's not going to help. And guess who loves that?
Tucker Carlson.
Putin.
Putin loves that.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially what the argument you could make is that Tucker is providing him a platform to get his propaganda out, and that's not useful. But I mean, to Cody's point, it is nice to hear directly from him, you know? So I guess that.
So, but we've already heard directly from him. Like,
true.
Everything he said, he's put out there. He said and means exactly what he says. It's,
I mean, he said that exact same story about the history of Russia and Ukraine.
He said it before
2 years ago.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, because he's got, I forget the guy's name, but he's got that poet historiographer that has their version of Russian history. Yeah. No, it's
I can't pull it.
Yeah. What was the book we both read on that?
Oh, Tim Snyder, right?
Yeah.
What was that called?
It's like it's a negative of a common word.
Is it
The Road to Unhistory? The Road to Unfreedom.
The Road to Unfreedom. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep.
Well, that was worth the pause. It's okay. can I play this clip that actually, this is what had me a little bit more ready to come eat a pile of dog shit during the show today.
Okay.
This is a clip from that
interview. I just got to ask you one last question, and that's about Evan Gershkovitz, who's the Wall Street Journal reporter. He's 32, and he's been in prison for almost a year. And I just want to ask you directly if, as a sign of your decency, you would be willing to release him to us and we'll bring him back to the United States.
I am still giving him credit. It's a little insulting how I'll probably frame this. Doesn't this remind you of like, please, Your Majesty, you are so great and so graceful. Please show us your grace by freeing our blah, blah, blah. The way you have to talk to a king.
Yeah.
United States.
We have done so many gestures of goodwill out of decency that I think...
Gave you that basketball lady back.
We have run out of them. We have never seen anyone reciprocate to us in a similar manner. However, in theory, we can say that we do not rule out that we can do that if our partners take reciprocal steps.
What makes this difference is the guy's obviously not a spy. He's a...
I'll repeat what he just said before we start playing it again so that the full context is there. I don't know how the translation worked on this, but I have had a theory that I was hoping that we could start seeing, and I just realized this is a perfect test case for it. Why don't we have AI live translating on the fly in the voice, especially with people that have all their voice recordings, thousands of hours of it? Their AI should be able to create a English speaking version with their accent that you hear almost as they're talking
real time.
Yeah.
That would be very cool.
It wouldn't work. Some of these are like they talk Yoda style where they say the sentence finishes. The way the sentence finishes determines how it would have started. So maybe there would be some delay for those reasons, but pretty much on the fly.
They clearly had a person translating in real time so they could have the conversation. And Putin was wearing an earpiece, so I'm sure somebody was in his
ear. Too bad. It would have been cool if it was that AI I was talking about. Of course, this wouldn't be the time to go wing it, right? You want to practice that somewhere else.
How about Tucker shooting his shot trying to free hostages?
I agree. So what I talked over right at that I'll repeat. So for context, he's saying, we know the guy, he's 32 years old. He's a kid. He's not a spy.
And maybe he was breaking your law in some way, but he's not a super spy. And everybody knows that. And he's being held hostage in exchange, which is true. With respect, it's true. And everyone knows it's true. So maybe he's in a different category. Maybe it's not fair to ask for, you know, somebody else in exchange for letting him out. Maybe it degrades.
He's using his neurolinguistic programming on Putin, and that's the stuff
we
don't say that on the show because I guess it's kind of like a little wackadoo, but it's a real thing. You know, you can sort of lead people with the way you frame and repeat yourself, right? So it's what Trump uses. We kind of complained about that on the show before too, where it's like, this is a thing that I propose to be a truth. And then right after you say that, you do three rapid fire things, slightly varied so that it reinforces the first thing that you want to be perceived as the truth, you know?
Yeah. It's a rhetorical strategy. Essentially.
Yeah. So he says he's a kid. Yeah. He's not a spy. You know that. Everybody knows that. We all know that. Like that was a perfect version, but it's kind of what he just did there.
Russia to do that.
He was receiving classified confidential information, and he did it covertly.
I mean, this is a 32-year-old newspaper reporter.
He committed something different. He's not just a journalist. I reiterate, he's a journalist who was secretly getting confidential information. I do not rule out that the person you refer to, Mr. Gershkovitz, may return to his motherland. By the end of the day, it does not make any sense to keep him in prison in Russia.
Oh, hold on.
I hope you let him out.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'll give you credit for that, Tucker.
Yeah, likewise.
Pretty good.
Let's stop presenting. Okay, where do we go to from here? Do you have any more thoughts on that? It'd be kind of anticlimactic.
No, I think we covered it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Media diet?
Yeah. What have you been watching, buddy?
So I watched more than this. I can't remember. So Kyle Kinane has a relatively new special out on YouTube. And I kind of went down a Kyle Kinane rabbit hole on YouTube this week.
Does he have a bunch of shorts or not YouTube shorts, but does he have a bunch of like non-specials that he has stuff?
Yeah, he has like 30-minute stand-ups from like Comedy Central, things like that.
He literally has a notebook that he just brings up on stage while he works out an act. And like he does that while he tours because he just has just asking questions like we do, but nonstop.
Right.
And they're hilarious. Is that
– It's funny.
In any specials or any videos like that?
Yes, there are videos like that. He even talks in this most recent special about how it was so hard for him during lockdown because he's used to getting that feedback from the audience, and that's how he improves his act.
And you know what? I saw him saying that as a part of his act when I saw him at Zany's here. Like, during lockdown. It was like 2001, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 2001.
Yeah, not 21.
Okay, I was like, what?
Oh, I did a Cat Williams. Remember when Cat Williams fucked up the dates of,
He did. Yeah. He did. I know I watched some other comedy specials too, because I kind of, like I said, went down a YouTube rabbit hole. They're all out there for free on YouTube if you have premium.
Send me a link to your favorite Kyle one. I want to see that.
Okay.
Or I will just do that. Even if it's just that newest one.
He's very funny.
Of course.
He is very funny.
Yeah. He's in Brado's book, The Perfect Amount of Wrong.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, you can get that on Amazon or anywhere fine books are sold. I got a drawer. I used to have a drawer full of them. I sent them away to our bestest listeners. Perfect Amount of Wrong by Mike Bridenstine. Highly recommend it. Great book.
Absolutely. Very, very good.
Still got one signed copy for you. Maybe we'll do something with it later.
Ooh, sweet.
To a very special boy or girl.
How about you, man? Which you don't watch?
Dog Snuggles. Is Mike on the line? I got to talk about a goddamn dog dying.
Ponderous, man.
Yeah, ponderous. That is. I never know where anything is on this fucking board. Oh, here it is.
What is this fucking ponderous, man? Ponderous. Fucking ponderous.
I love that.
I do, too. Thanks. I'm glad you like it, too. It's fun to come on with you and just fucking shoot the shit and be fun with
it. It is. It's good times.
Like, I think about that all the time. Like, I still mean it. Like, this is not work, and this isn't like we don't ever have to do the show. But sometimes, like, we have to work around work, so we have to do something to do the show, and that kind of pushes you towards that feeling. But it never is, because it's like at the end of the day, it's like, you know, at a different time we would have gone to a bar and hung out, but we can't do that. And I get to hang out with my best friend twice a week.
Great.
Like, it's fucking great. Man. Yeah. I watched two movies that I think are worth talking about. They were sort of, we kind of watched docudramas unintentionally. So back to back, we watched Dumb Money that was recently, you'd have to pay $4.99 or something to see it. And I just never felt like pulling the trigger on it. But I think it's on Netflix now, Dumb Money.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's got Seth Rogen.
Rogen.
I think the shortest one.
Skinny Seth Rogen.
Yes, skinny Seth Rogen in it is the... So Dumb Money is about the GameStop.
Stop. Oh, right.
Yeah. And it kind of...
Diamond hands.
That all comes up. Tendies all comes up. Right. dipping the tendies in the champagne. It follows the perspective of the guy that was on Wall Street Bets and proposed everything with GameStop and drove it to the moon and all the memes that ever came out of that. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like it wants to be a... what was the one about 2008? The Big Short.
Oh. Big Short.
It almost feels like Michael, is it McKay, the director? whoever the director, McKay is the last name, one of his movies. So like the other guys, The Big Short, Talladega Nights, actually, his movies are all political and you just didn't know it.
Right.
Anyway, the movie's good. I don't think I'd give it more than like a 3 out of 5, which is a good score, especially That's for good. A comedy, right? Like comedies don't deserve to be a 5 out of 5. Come on. What do you think? There's The Hangover, Alan? What do you think? It's The Hangover with Ed Helms? God, I hate
that. Quality flick like that. It's yeah. Adam McKay.
Adam McKay. That's right. It was good. It was good. And it was more of a telling of that story in a more entertaining way of sort of remembering that story.
It was like huge. It was cultural.
Yeah. Zeitgeist. I mean, this is recent history and is really well done. But, you know, at times I felt like it didn't quite know what it was as a movie. Mm. So it was kind of trying to be that Adam McKay, but not quite. But it was good. It was good. It told the story. It gave you all the names. It set up scenes with like date and time and people's net worth. And it was all just tiny font for Zoomers, I guess. I don't know. It was not for people with eyes like us, apparently.
Oh, wow.
I kept having to pause it because it was like, what's that say? It was too small of a font.
Take a picture and
zoom in. Yeah. Oh my God. We were out to dinner with Natasha's family once and her mom and dad both took out our parents always have to take their phones out and turn the flashlight on to read the menu. Cause we're always at fine dining, Alan.
Mm, yes.
It's all dark.
Hey, I have to do that sometimes too now.
Right. Well, do you open the native flashlight app that's on your home screen?
Typically not. Usually I just take a picture and.
Okay. That works too. But you certainly don't download a flashlight app, right?
No. It's in the toolbar. You just drop.
Yeah. I don't think it was obvious that I said her mom and dad do that, right?
It is now.
Because it was like most of the time was spent finding the app. We're like, it's on your screen. It's the opposite from the phone button. Okay.
There's probably ads in that app, too.
That was part of it. Yeah. The screen was lit up with the ads. Yeah. I think you couldn't turn the screen off or something. I don't know. Yeah, the only people that listen are her sister, her brother. So it's fine. I think he's... the way I talk about my brother, I'm sure he talks about his sister, right? So it was good. You know, one thing that sucked. Do you remember the Winklevoss twins from the Social Network movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The douchebags at Harvard?
Mm-hmm. Stanford?
No, it was Harvard. It was Harvard okay. Because the only thing good that ever came out of social media was rating chicks at Harvard.
Right. Okay. I remember this. Yeah.
Okay. I'll save that quip for another time since I know you forget things. The Winklevoss twins were the guys that he fucked over early on. They were sleazy rowing douchebags, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The jocks that got everything they wanted. This movie was funded by them. So this movie that's all about like its big selling point at the end of the movie is like, yeah, these rich dicks think they can leverage us, but we can win to the moon. Yeah. Stick it to them. Movie brought to you by the Facebook dicks.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Which got a big chunk of change.
That's some meta stuff, right?
Meta.
There.
Whoa. And then the other movie, there was a docudrama also, but much more on the docu side of it because the person that it was based off of was being interviewed as they went to storytelling and then they'd interrupt the storytelling with the interview. It was called Pinball. I think it was called Pinball, The Man Who Saved the Game. Pinball at times was banned in cities. It was banned in New York. It was banned in Chicago. I think LA even. Banned because they considered it gambling. So think of how like, you know, now they're like TikTok's bad for kids, you know, their attention span, plus it, you know, perverts them and all this stuff. They said the exact same things about pinball. It was banned from the 1930s because the ban started during the Great Depression. And so they're like, you know, these people don't have any money and they're spending all their nickels on pinball and they're targeting our youth and things like that, right?
Youths.
Yeah. So people would play them in like dildo stores. So you'd go and rent your fucking, you know, porn movies and jerk off to a peep show. And that's where they would hide the pinball machines. And they would like raid them and break them like in front of the public. Right. Like with,
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big deal. This movie started, takes place in the '70s. That's where the guy who's still alive, who they interviewed for the movie, challenged it. And the way that he testified in front of, the New York City Council by playing a game of pinball to prove that it wasn't gambling. It was a game of skill, which it obviously is a game of skill.
Right.
And it's this is not a pun. It's a flippant argument that, to say that it's gambling. You like the flip joke? Flipper joke.
I did.
Yeah. So it's a great telling. It's made by the Bragg Brothers, B-R-A-G-G. Our libertarianist listeners would recognize them as the guys behind all of the cool videos that Reason Magazine has ever published. So, the Reason Magazine is doing the Lord's work in terms of like free markets, free minds from like a centrist point of view, which is not cool in the Libertarian Party now that the Mises Caucus runs it.
Caucuses are really weird.
They are weird, especially the Mises Caucus. Those guys are fucking weird. All right, now I'm talking to like five people, so I'll spin out of it. I recommend Pinball. It's on.
It sounds good.
I think it's on Amazon. You can watch it for free. It's included in Prime, or it's on Hulu. It's included on one of those services. It's not on Netflix. Okay. Netflix is where you get dumb money, which I also recommend.
I like those style of movies. Did you ever get to BlackBerry?
Oh, I totally forgot. BlackBerry, really Marion Barry or Barack Obama? Halle Berry.
Neither.
Oh. Barry White.
No.
Okay. What's BlackBerry?
It's about the literal device BlackBerry.
Oh, is it good? I forgot. You recommended it here, huh?
It's good. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Really?
I think it's
If I watched the Game Stonk movie, I could watch that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So. I want to say it's on Max.
Do you call it HBO Prime? Or I'm ending this podcast? I'm not joking. HBO
it's on HBO or perhaps Prime. I'm not sure which, but yeah, you can stream it.
Don't look. Don't look at the screen. Don't look at the screen, Alan.
Not looking.
I fucked up. I unhighlighted the wrong one.
Game time.
It is game time. I've got a return of a game that I was about to set up, but Alan said it's game time, so we'll just walk right into it. Guys, it's the return of the king. Our most popular, by far, game.
Teddy versus Chomsky? No, we did that last week.
Hope. Or no, that's not how you do it. Hold on. Carp or no. Where every
we
week
played this with Fritz. It was so much fun.
It was fun. So I bring you three fish, and you have to find whether it's a carp or a narp, but this time with a twist.
Oh, okay.
Pokemon edition. This is brought to you by Meemaw Politic. Follow Meemaw Politic, of course. Follow Meemaw Politic on Instagram. It's spelled how it sounds. If you don't know how to spell Meemaw, we're not speaking the same language. Carp or Narp Pokemon Edition. We give Alan two carp names and one Pokemon name. This way I can't get that fucked up. So we give Alan two carp names and one Pokemon name, and he has to find the Narp. They are water Pokemons inspired by carps.
I like it.
It's brilliant. It combines two of our other games where we do Pokemon or pills, right?
Absolutely.
Also brought to you by another listener, Punk Rock Bob Foster. Follow Punk Rock Bob Foster on Instagram as well. Okay, so if you are ready, I will present to you three names, and you have to decide
which one's the Pokemon.
Which one is the Pokemon? I told him you can't do a first generation Pokemon. Alan knows his early Pokemon.
I do.
All right, you do it. I don't want to try to say these words.
Where is it?
Oh, it's at the bottom. It's bottom of the sheet.
Okay.
Nishikigogi.
Nishikigogi. And then Milo Faringadon.
No. Milo Faringadon
or Phoebus.
Yeah, I think it's Phoebus.
So these are all like scientific names.
The thing I like about this is carps and Pokemon have a little bit of Asian twist on
often
names,
yes,
you'd know,
often.
Right? So
yes.
So the carp names naturally fall right into the Pokemon-ish names. And then you go with a water-based Pokemon or water. I don't think it's water-based, is it?
Yeah, it's water.
Water type.
Yeah.
It's not paint. Or lube. That's what I was thinking of. Water-based lube. Let's see, is that in this drawer? No. No, it's in the sock drawer. I'm not opening that up. You know, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say, wow, this is tough. I'm going to say the first one.
You're trying to find
the Pokemon.
Okay. See, I don't even remember. No, wait, that's always been the case.
All right, I'm gonna say Nishikigoi is the Pokemon.
Oh fuck yeah! I love it when you lose.
Oh god damn it! Yeah. I'm on a losing streak too. Yeah.
Which one you think you got a backup guess?
Wow. Am I gonna go 0-2 here?
Milo Ferengadon or
Feedas? See, that sounds like a Pokemon, but it's a really long name. I don't think that fits.
Too
on
much
the screen.
For kids, right? Oh, it's tough for the screen.
Let's go Feebas.
Feebas, good job. You get no points for second place.
That was fun, man.
That was fun. Keep him
I
coming.
Love Carper Narp.
You know what? I'm going to tell him right as soon as we end the show. Great job, Alan.
Hell yeah.
He said, how many do you want me to send in? I was like, well, keep them coming if this works. He's like, we'll see how tonight goes. Yeah.
That was fun, man. That was fun. Thanks, Mima.
Hey, I asked you middle of the day. I was like, can you indulge me at the end of tonight's show?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I thought that was the Tucker Carlson stuff.
It wasn't the Tucker stuff.
Okay.
All right. Can you move your cursor? Thank you. I can't see things when you put your cursor over. So, you know, me and Thrash were talking about this guy. And before I kind of quote Thrash on this, because I think his words were actually really well put, for a large period of my life, I was entertained by him. And then possibly for a longer period of my life, I really couldn't stand the guy because of the way he like portrayed his political beliefs.
Okay.
It was also conflicting because he was an Oklahoma superstar legend and he was always on the sidelines during the Oklahoma Texas games. And I'd just be like, fuck yeah. Boomer sooner, right. Man. Horns down, brother. You can get a million good points with that for me.
Right.
But Toby Keith died this week. 62 years old, stomach cancer, motherfucker, yeah. Man. I saw him on the sidelines of this last Sooners game, and I wasn't aware of the stomach cancer, but he never missed games. In fact, actually, that might have been last year's game, and he's been fighting it since then, because I don't think we saw him on this year's game. Mm. But when I saw him, I was like, dude, that guy looks like he's dying. And then right after I said that, they started talking about his diagnosis and him fighting it. Well, so you disagree with him plenty. The man was a hell of an artist, you know.
He was.
I would editorialize over Thrash here if at times an opportunist, you know. You don't tell the Toby Keith story without telling the take advantage of the rally around the flag effect after 9/11.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
The man had a career prior to this, but he really...
He blew up after that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
To the point like South Park did a parody of him right. with the Ladder to Heaven episode. But he was a reflection of our country at the time, right? At least a section of our country at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter whether you want to be too persuaded by that last phase, I would say, mm-hmm. with the patriotism and stuff, which is not always a vice, right? Like, in fact, obviously, largely a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
The man was an American icon.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't, yeah. And 62, you know, here I am at 41 thinking, if I knew I only had 20 more years, but I got to live the life that guy had, yeah. I probably wouldn't. But the fact that I would stop and be like, well, I'm not going to say no right away. Let me think. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you talk to me in 21 years. I'll be like, can I just get another 20 to 30 more of this, though? Like,
right.
I might still be president, right. You know? But I, one of my very favorite things that I didn't know I was into until we started doing this podcast is sound editing.
Mm, yeah.
And, so the day that he died, I wasn't really heartbroken cause I kind of saw it coming. The memes are, you know, as everything these days is how you learn news. So I learned the news from the memes. And then I was really busy that day at work and halfway through, it was Tuesday. Good thing we didn't record on Tuesday, man. Cause I was on call till 9:30. Yeah. And it was just driving. Like I got out to look at a saw that they were like, it made a noise. I'm like, it's literally working perfectly. I'll amp out the motor. And he's like, well, it keeps getting caught on this guide. I'm like, what's it caught on? Pieces of bone. So what do? I clean it out. I'm like, okay. And then it's running. The motor never gets hot. It's got good amps the whole time. Everything's moving smooth. There's no buildup on like these little guides to sort of clean it. And I'm just like, I'm giving it a clean bill of health. Like we'll come back tomorrow if it makes you worried about something, but I have nothing to like, I'm not going to write up your motor for no reason. Yeah. And the guy's like, I recently cleaned this part here. it had a lot of buildup on it. Can you just order us another one just so we have it in case for next time? And I'm like, the part that's perfectly clean right now? He's like, yeah, I really had to scrub it. I'm like, I don't...
Just do that again.
No. You have to do maintenance. That's part of right. keeping this. Like,
yes. That's not how this works. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man.
Wow.
I won't say what store that is. I just realized I've been talking about my work way too much. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm glad that we didn't record that night. But halfway through that day, I had seen the news, had it kind of break on me, and then kind of get wrapped up in work, right? Sure. I'm eating a lunch. I go through Wendy's and just eat the food like in the parking lot. We call that a maneuver.
Yes, you take your shirt off.
Yeah, so I'm doing the maneuver in my work truck. I didn't even park into a lane. I just pulled across three parking spots because I was like, well, who cares? I'm going to eat this in 5 minutes.
Parking lot, yeah.
I roll my windows down because it's nice weather finally, and a guy's driving by with a Mustang with the top down blaring, we'll light up your ass like it's the 4th of July. And I was like, fuck, man, Toby Keith died. That fucking sucks, man. You know, I went to a concert of his with my brother when he was in the Army. And
oh, wow.
It was just a really great moment for me and my brother. And we drank a case of Coors Lights and smoked an entire pack of cigarettes. Like,
oh,
I smoked a pack of American Spirits in a 3-hour concert. Dude.
Oh, God.
Maybe
that had to feel rough the
it
next day.
It was a terrible next day, yes. But I did not have to work that day. Yeah. But so it hit me harder than it probably should have. And maybe everybody's tuned out. But. I'd like to invite you to enjoy the next 4 minutes. Like I said, it's one of my favorite things to do is editing audio. I made a little montage of Toby Keith music. Before I played it, I did send it to some people and say, like, hey, am I just being totally selfish with this? They're like, no, man. Like, that's very sentimental, and it kind of makes me want to actually go enjoy his music again. So I hope this...
A little compilation.
Yeah, and we'll probably just go out on this. You want to watch... We'll look at each other while we listen to this. Yeah. All right, man. It was a great time talking to you. I think
absolutely.
I'll talk to you in not a day before Tuesday. All right, here we go.
Since I quit drinking, no Cuervo gold margaritas, just ain't enough good burning tequila. She needs something with a little more rage and a little more pain. I'm a hayseed and a plowboy. I'm a farm kid and a cowboy. One, oh my, me, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. True, I know
is raining down on you. I brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Should have been a cowboy. Like Gene, let's have a party. I love you,
Red Solo Cup.
What?
I lift you up, proceed to party. I'm so happy that I can't stop crying. I'm laughing through my tears, laughing through my tears. You know, justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your balls, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses, singing whiskey